Hello and welcome to Bishop Ato Dixon's podcast. Bishop Ato Dixon is a true son of Bishop Dagwood Mills and the convener of Jesus is the Rock Church, a denomination under the United Denominations originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. Listen and be blessed as he shares with you deep messages from the Word of God.
Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we come with faith in the very fact, O God, that you are Lord over all and sovereign over all. Your word says that they that come to you must believe that you exist and you are a rewarder. Father, we do not just believe, but we know. We know, O God, because we were not born of a corruptible seed, but we were born out of an incorruptible seed. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your word. Father, thank you for the name that you've given to us, that at the mention of that name, every knee bows and every knee confesses that Jesus is Lord. This morning, Lord, we come with this assurance that you are Emmanuel. You are in the midst of your people, doing your own thing, speaking to us through your word, granting us wisdom through your word, granting us revelation and understanding through your word. Father, we pray, oh God, that let the light of your word shine on every darkness around us. And may we approach, oh God, that great and that light that came into the world many years ago that dispelled darkness. This morning, Lord, I pray that let Jesus be glorified in our meeting. Let no flesh glory be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Lord, this is our prayer this morning. Oh, be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. You want to sing it one more time? Lord, be glorified. Oh, be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Lord, be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be somebody lift your hands and say, be glorified. Oh, be glorified in the heavens. Be glorified, Lord. Be glorified in the earth. Be glorified, Lord. Be glorified in the stars. We thank you. Heal those that, Lord, you are healing. And touch the brokenhearted. Lord, someone walked into church this morning, Lord, with a broken heart. Because of the events of the day, the challenges of life, the difficulties of life, the pain of life. But I thank you that let your word, the entrance of your word, oh Lord, bring healing, tangible healing. Let the power of your word, oh God, lift that soul, oh God, that is downcast in the name of Jesus. Lord, somebody walked in here, he had a message, and it was a bad message. But today I pray that as your good news is preached, that good news will replace that bad news in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, oh God, that may we live here knowing that of the truth, our spirit man have been nourished, our souls have been revived, and our bodies are revitalized, oh God, to advance in the course of our walk with you. Be glorified in our midst this morning, in the precious name of Jesus. And all the saints of the Lord shouted a big amen, a big amen, a big... Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. He deserves it all. Our God deserves it. He's awesome. Hallelujah. Give somebody a high five and take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Well, this morning I want to continue to teach on prayer. Amen. How many have been blessed by the message on prayer? And I'm really taking my time because when you get to know the reasons why you do things, you do it with a certain understanding. You know, sometimes when somebody instructs you, do this, do that, and then you don't seem to have a clue, you know, the results, expected results. You know, sometimes you do it, especially if you lack faith in the person, you know, because you are going to continue to do it with passion if only you have faith in the person who is instructing you to do it. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to teach again on the second point, 10 reasons, you know, 10 reasons why you got to pray. Turn to somebody and tell him 10 reasons. Tell him there are a lot of reasons, but I'm just sharing with you 10. Amen. Amen. Yeah, the second reason is that prayer makes you into a man of authority. Hallelujah. A man of authority. Say, I want to be a man of authority. Say, I want to be a man in charge. A man of authority is a man in charge. A man of authority is a man who takes control over events. Hallelujah. I mean, when you see two boxers fighting, right from round one, you will see the one who is in control. One person comes in with a defeatist mentality, and because of that, you see him running away from the main person. I mean, when you watch Mike Tyson fighting, you know, in his days, just the name of Mike Tyson, the fact that you are going to fight Mike Tyson, I'm sure that a lot of things goes on down your spine. You know, and then when he enters the ring, there is a way he does his neck with his half bowl haircut, with his broad neck. I mean, you'll be afraid. Hallelujah. And so right from the beginning, you can see that this boxer takes charge. I pray that you are going to be a man and a woman in charge of affairs. And you can be a man and a woman who is in charge of affairs if you pray. Because prayer makes you into a man of authority. Hallelujah. I see God raising many men and women of authority in this house. Oh yeah. When you are a man of authority, you don't complain. When you're a man of authority and things are going against you and all the odds rises up against you, you enter into your closet and you remotely control things from your closet. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'm tempted to believe that the first remote control that was manufactured was a great shock to the people at the time. Because the understanding always was that if you want to turn or switch the television off, you need to have a physical contact with the television before the television is switched off. But until this discovery that you can remotely achieve the same results even when you are far, many people could never figure it out. They could not reason it out. I'm sure they were thinking, so what can we do? But when the person, so I'm very sure that the first one that they did, the guy was standing a distance, you know, and whilst one guy was going to turn off, he just remotely turned it off. And he said, what happened? What happened? What's happening? It went off. Something is happening. What is happening? And then he told him that it's this device. Now the device to turn things around remotely is prayer. I believe God answers prayer. I believe God is still in the business of answering prayer. Quite a number of Christians have given up on prayer. Because it looks like things are not going the way they expect, in spite of the minutes, seconds, and hours they have spent. Remember that prayer also has rules. Anything you do without following the rule, you may miss out. You just think about it, that you are running a race. Okay? And then you don't have, number one, you don't have a track. Number two, you have not been registered as one of the people to engage in the race. And then number three, you are wearing a jumper and kente cloth. I mean, you are not in the position for a race. You are not well appareled or well dressed for a race. Hallelujah. Maybe you may be in your kente. You might run and win, but it's a non-scoring thing for you. So there are rules. Tell to somebody, there are rules. Tell you, there are rules for engaging in prayer. Especially in intercessory prayer, this morning we thank God that our prophet gave us deep insight, you know, to intercessory prayer, where Father Abraham stood in the gap. He did his best, but he couldn't even have five people. He had four, up to four. Not many people were engaged with the Lord at that time. Hallelujah. All right. So to be a man of authority, to be a man in charge, you need to know the source of your authority. And you need to spend moments and quality time at the place where you get your authority from. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 4 talks about Jesus' encounter with the devil. Maybe let us read the whole story. Luke chapter 4 verse 1 through to 14. It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. Jesus being full of what? Jesus being full of what? May you be full of the Holy Ghost. May you be full of the Holy Ghost. Which means that you may be half full and not full. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Amazing. Amazing. Jesus Christ comes to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness by John the Baptist. And then after that, the Holy Spirit just comes upon him, and a voice of affirmation comes forth. And the Lord saying that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And after all the experience and the incidents, is that not the time when Jesus is supposed to be led into among the people to start his ministry? But the Bible is saying that after that experience, after God had confirmed who Jesus Christ was, it wasn't enough to straight away engage in whatever he was assigned to do. But rather, the Holy Spirit led him away from what man would have expected that he's led into. Quite a number of us, when the Lord has spoken a word over our lives, our expectancy is great, but we do nothing about it. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. And what was he going to do in the wilderness? A wilderness is a place of dryness. A place where there is nothing. A place of drought. Listen, if you are in your wilderness today, maybe God wants you to have a good encounter with him and to prepare you for things ahead. Instead of complaining when you are in your wilderness, maybe it's about time you engage God in prayer. So he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Ghost. And then the Bible says, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Hey, you will come face to face with the devil. You will meet the devil face to face. Sometimes in a man. And I pray that when you are going through all your temptations, the Lord will give you the grace to stand. And the Lord will send his angels to minister to you. And the Lord will give you the fortitude to stand. He was led to be tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did not eat anything. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. He didn't eat anything. He was hungry. And I'm telling you that when you are hungry physically, that is what actually can expose you to falling when you are tempted. It is because of hunger that these little girls follow this sugar daddy's hair. It's hunger. The baseline is hunger. The baseline is that, yes, we know it's greed, but the baseline is hunger. It's hunger. And when I say hunger, what am I talking about? Is it hunger for food? Hunger for things. The word hunger can also be a form of lust. Lusting after things. You may be hungry for money. You may be hungry for clothes. You may be hungry for anything at all. So hunger exposes you to temptation. So you need to hunger for the right things. The Bible says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I don't know what you are hungry for, but it is my prayer that you not be hungry for material things. You not be hungry for things that the flesh places demand on. That's what creates the problem. Oh yeah. So he was tempted. He didn't eat anything. 2, 3. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Look at this devil. You know he is. Why do you always come with a deceptive question? With a trick question? Listen to me. You must be wary of the devil because he will always come with a trick question. Did the Lord say, you shall not eat of that tree? He always comes with a trick question. But I pray that you will be alert. I said you will be alert as you go through all the trying times. Why? Because you are a man of authority. And because you're a man of authority, you can stand the times. Hallelujah. If there be, command this stone that it may be made bread. Command the stone. You know, sometimes we want to prove a point. You see, Jesus didn't need to prove a point that he's the Son of God. He was the Son of God. Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, then do this. So you see that now you are being led by the devil without knowing. If you're a Christian, you need to build, you need to build what? Boreholes for people if you are truly a Christian. And by the time you realize, your main focus have shifted because you are hearing the voice. That is not the voice that called you. That is not the voice that prepared you. That's not the voice that gave you your mission and your agenda. So here he says that if you are a son of God, then turn the stone into bread. I don't need to prove a point. I don't need to prove a point. And let me tell you something. You also don't need to prove a point. If you're a born again Christian, you are a born again Christian. That is who you are. And Jesus answered him saying, it is written. Everybody say it is written. It is my prayer that you will be so much filled with the word of God that when the devil comes, you just throw God's word at the devil. Some of us have been confronted the devil with our own words. You Satan, go away from me. You devil, Satan, go away from me. Listen, the devil does not fear your words. Your words carry no power. Your words carry no authority. But the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow. And the Bible says it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of man. The word of God carries power. The more of his word in you, the more powerful you are. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by of him alone. Some of you, you don't know that there are times that you need, as you feed on the natural, you must also feed on the supernatural. Some of us, our spirit man is so emaciated. Our spirit man is like some Sudanese refugee. There's nothing attractive. I mean, can you imagine that you have a child and the child is not eating and you can see that the child is becoming emaciated? I mean, you don't feel well even when your child is not well. Sometimes I believe that is how God feels. Because some of us are too emaciated. When the devil blows you one, that will be the end. But I pray that from today, the Lord is going to bring you to a place where you are going to derive strength, you are going to source out for power in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And you know, listen to me, church. The devil had the right to the world because man had handed over the world to him right at the garden, in the Garden of Eden. You know, and that was the purpose. That was the real purpose why he came, to restore back us unto God and to bring us to that place of authority, one more time, to bring us to that place where we'll be a representation of God on earth, ruling and having dominion over things. So the Bible says that he takes him up to the mountain and shows him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me. Did you hear that? He said that is delivered unto what? So the devil was certain about the fact that that power of owning the world had been delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. You know, and that is what people have been engaged in. Going through Sakawa. Going through, this is what it is. This is what it is. And they want to gain the world. But you can't get, do you think you can gain the world? Now, if you gain the world, can you maintain it? Can you maintain it? Do you have enough time to maintain the world that you think you have gained? You may gain partly, but you may not live forever to be in charge of it. And you know, the devil suggested to Jesus a shorter route to gain the world back. And that suggestion was that just bow down and worship me. And you don't need to go to the cross. You know, you don't need to go to the cross. The cross, it's not needful. You don't need to shed blood. Why do you have to shed blood when you can only bow to me and then I hand it down to you and then restore your people back? And sometimes that is how it is presented to us. That is why many of us cannot stand sacrifices. You see, things you are supposed to sacrifice for, instead of sacrificing, you just go for it and bow to the devil and have it. But let me tell you something. Anybody you bow to, he has authority over you. So if Jesus had responded to the devil, trust you me, it would have been worse. Because that would have been our only hope. Our only hope is Jesus Christ. His only begotten son. So I don't know whether it was Gabriel who would be coming or Michael who would be coming. Oh yeah. I don't know. Because they were all there when the father was asking, whom shall I send and who shall go? So they were really hoping that Jesus will really achieve what he came to do. Because if he didn't, then one of them will have to come down and continue with the assignment. Hallelujah. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. The first time, he spoke the word of God back to him. The second time, he rebuked him. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. Everybody say, it is written. I tell you, you cannot prevail. You cannot succeed. You cannot achieve without the word of God. That is why I shudder for Christians who are not interested in spending time with God's word and increasing their knowledge base on God's word. I really have a problem with Christians like that. You know, so you just follow the motions and then it becomes like a social event. So coming to church becomes a social event. When you come, you meet your very good friend. Some of us will meet our classmates and our work partners. And some of us will meet our prospective beloveds, you know. And some of us will meet our people we are crushing on and all that. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. This morning, the prophet says something. I want to repeat it. This Christianity thing we are doing, this prayer thing we are talking about, it's not a psychological thing. Did you hear what I just said? It is not psychological that you play psychology on somebody to overpower the person. It is not psychology. We are talking about the ability to acquire power and authority to maneuver in this life. This world is full of wicked people. And they are wicked because they've been influenced by another spirit. So he said, it is written. It is written. 8. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. So in other words, when you worship somebody, you become a servant of the person. So Jesus is saying that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only shall thou serve. Anything you bow to becomes your God. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah. May you not bow to any other thing. May you bow to the Most High God. Hallelujah. One day, Peter and Co. Charlie, the people said that the gods have appeared unto us. The Bible says they ran away from the city because they felt that Zeus and Co. had come to town. I mean, as they saw the power, the flow of authority, the flow of miracles, they said, oh, the gods have descended unto us, and they went to bow. They said, no, not us. Not us. Don't worship us. We are not the ones. We did this under the influence of the Most High God. And they ran away from the city. May you not receive accolades when it is not due you. Amen? Please help me with the scriptures. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle. You know, Satan never gives up. He never gives up. He will come in a role of the temple. Now he's brought him closer to church. And said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. You see, so you can see here that the enemy was trying, you know, Jesus, whether he has pride of life. He has pride. You see, because if you are proud, look, this guy, I just want to show him where power lies. Have you heard that statement before? I want to show him where. That's a statement of pride. That's a statement of pride. A statement of pride is wanting to show somebody that you wield power. People who wield power, they don't show it. You see it. Like Bishop Dagiwad Mills, such an anointed man of God. He doesn't need to make you feel anything. He doesn't need to tell you to do something. He will only encourage you, but you will begin to see the power of God at work in his life. As I'm speaking, the man is in the Pacific doing camps and ministering to people powerfully in Tonga. Do you know Tonga? Have you heard of Tonga before? Do you know Vanuatu? Do you know Solomon's Islands? Have you heard of those places? Even your small percenter, look at the way you are struggling. Your small percenter, it's not very easy. You have been struggling with this, your 8 people. But you can see from one place to New Zealand, from one place to the other, this is a man of authority. This is a man of power. He is fulfilling the gospel that had been assigned to him. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They that believe and receive it shall be saved. They that believe not shall be damned. And these signs and wonders shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? It's happening. People who don't have power talks a lot. People who don't have power, they complain a lot. They say things. But people who have power do not talk. You will see the aura and the power all around them. But you know, because we are flesh and blood, we like people who talk. Because sometimes we resort to the flesh and blood. That's why a lady, you see, the guy, he can't talk. You don't like that one. The one who can talk. Oh, baby, love for love. Some love for money. Some love for beauty. Some love for pleasure. But I love because I love. They that I love do not love me. They that I love not love me strangely. It's my nature. It's my feet. It's God's will. Let it be. Hey! Even the thing he's saying, cry, you don't understand it. But he said, no. He's the one. May you associate with men and women of power. May you associate with men and women of authority. God is making you into a man of authority. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You are going to change the lives of people. You are going to change destinies as you go into your closet to wait on him in prayer. Having I just say, oh, this man, look at what God is using him to do so mightily. And he's not blowing his horn. People who don't have authority and power blow their own horn. But people who have authority and power, their works are there to prove. Jesus said, if you do not believe, for my works' sake, believe it. Even Jesus was told that he cast out devils by Beelzebub. I don't know the worst that you have faced. I'm not too sure the way. You see, that's why I'm saying that if you are not word-based person, if you are not deep in the word, the devil will come to you with tricks. And by the time you realize, you are falling. But you will not fall in the name of Jesus. I say you will not fall in the name of Jesus. You will overcome every trial and every temptation. Put your hands together for the Lord. Yeah, I don't want to talk plenty. What I want to do is that I want to dissect the word of God. And we are doing that together. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from his. Why? But if I'm a son of God, I have to cast myself down. What's the meaning of that? And this is the reason, you know, for it is written. You see, now the devil also shifts from the place of just talking. And then he's twisting scriptures. Let me tell you something. When the enemy wants to deceive you, one of the things you will do is he will quote a scripture twisted. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. This was not the reason why this scripture was written. That the Son of Man must throw himself down. Huh? And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said. It is what? The first time it was, it is written. The second time it was written. But the last time now, the spoken word had to be activated. It's not just written, but it has been declared. It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, there will be an end to all temptations. I said, the temptations you are going through, God is going to bring you to a perfect end. And when God is done with you, he will glorify you, he will make you great in the kingdom. He departed from him for a season. So the temptations, they come in seasons. You see, in Europe, they have four seasons. When you are going through your summer temptations, you must remember that your winter temptations will also come. And you must remember that your spring temptations will come. And your autumn temptations will come. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter the season. If you're a man of prayer, you become a man of authority and you can take charge over every situation. You can see clearly over here that Jesus was in charge. I said Jesus was in charge in that battle. And so the Bible says that the devil had to leave of him. May God help you to be in charge. Now 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. You know, when you're a man of authority, your fame will also spread abroad. You know, there are some people who always want their fame to spread abroad by using cheap ways of making their fame spread. Do you know that? There are people like that who use cheap ways. And I just noticed that recently somebody was just telling me that the thing, because they've monetized it, when somebody wakes up and he's broke and he wants money, he has to do something that people can just watch for the views to come up. And when the views come up, they can have money. Is it true, my dear dog, lawyer?
It's true.
It's true. So how do they monetize it? Do you have an idea?
So you are paid per views that you get on your content that you put out there. So the number of people who come on, if you reach a certain number, then you are paid for that.
So a person now creates content, right? Is that what he does? And then when it, and sometimes you can see the content that they have created, they are substandard content. It's like humanoids creating content. Do you know who a humanoid is? When you go, I'm giving you an assignment. Just look for the meaning of the word humanoid, creating content. But you can see here, Jesus needn't create any content because he had been at the place of power. He had been at the place of authority. He had been at the place of prayer, spending quality time with the Father. So when the temptations came, he stood the test of time. May you stand the test of time. I said, may you stand the test of time. So listen, to be a man of authority, you need to overcome the wiles of the wicked one. Hallelujah. The Bible says that his fame spread abroad. Power is the word dunamis. And let me tell you something. When you have power, and when you are in control and you are in charge of things, nobody can take away that which is yours. And I pray for you in the name of Jesus that anything the enemy wants to take away from you, God is restoring it back 100-fold to you. If only you can spend time with him in prayer. And you need to understand that prayer is talking to God, getting back to him with his words. Are you understanding me? So you must be well versed in his word anytime you are praying. Amen. Now, in Luke chapter 4, verse 22, the Bible says, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. When you're a man of authority, the words that comes out of your mouth are gracious words. They are gracious words to heal. They are gracious words to restore. They are gracious words not to destroy, but to build. Oh, yes. The Bible says that they were very amazed at the wisdom of Jesus Christ. And they said that he did not preach like the scribes, but he preached with authority. Because, you see, the scribes didn't preach with authority. They only taught the letter, and then they also impressed people based on the knowledge they thought they had. But Jesus spoke with power. May you be a man filled with gracious words. I mean, can you just imagine? He goes to a place somebody has been lying down for 38 years. I mean, he's been there for several years. A woman, you know, issue of blood, 38 years. And the woman just touches and then healed. A guy had been at a place for so many years, the pool of Bethesda. And you know, he had no help. I want to tell somebody here, you may not have help, but I see Jesus coming through for you. Jesus asked him, will you want to be healed? Instead of saying yes, he says, I have no man. Because his orientation was that if you can have help, you must have a man. And somebody sitting here hearing me, that is your orientation, that, you know, I don't have a man, but I'm telling you that you have a God if you don't have a man. I said you have a God if you don't have a man. I don't have an uncle. All my uncles, they don't have money. When I hear people are traveling abroad, their uncles are picking them up, you know, I just wish that it was me. Listen to me. Your background doesn't matter. Jesus' background didn't really matter. He had a questionable background. But because he spent time in prayer, he took charge and control of the events of the day. Hallelujah. He said, I have no man. When I'm attempting to move, then they move. Because see, there were a whole lot of different sicknesses represented over there. Some were halt. Some were blind. So the blind man has his legs. All right? And he can run. But running to where? Yeah, because you can run, but you need direction. You may not see the pool, but you have the energy to run. And then you also have this cripple who can see but cannot run. Oh, it was a bad situation. How many realize that it was a very bad situation? But you know what happened? This man obtained mercy. I pray that you obtain mercy. Now I'm asking myself, of all the many people that were there, why did Jesus go to one person? He found favor. May you find favor. In the midst of the many, may the Lord grant you favor. May God come to you and meet you at the point of your need. And then he said, carry your things and leave. He just obeyed the word of God. And that was the end of the story. Do you know why his obedience to the word brought that kind of result? Because Jesus' words were words of authority. You are coming to that place where everything you declare, where everything you say will surely come to pass. But it doesn't just happen. You must be a man who is always found in the secret place of the Most High. The Bible says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my strength, my God. In whom will I trust? Amen. May you be a man of authority. In Luke chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, I want to take my time because you see, when you become a man of authority, all other things will be sorted by the grace of God. Luke 4, 31. The Bible says, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And taught them, go back, and taught them on the Sabbath what? Yeah, he had a camp. It wasn't once. He had a camp. Sabbath days. 32. And they were astonished. Turn to somebody and tell them they were astonished. Somebody is going to be astonished at you. He's going to be astonished at your depth of understanding. And you know, this beautiful church God has placed us in, our desire. And that is why we run the schools. The essence of the schools is to equip you, that you'll be thoroughly finished unto every good work. All right? They were astonished at his doctrine. Doctrine is systematic teaching. All right? For his word was with what? Power. When you're a man of authority, your words carry power. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. No, this time Jesus even had not just pointed at the guy. He was just preaching the word as he always did. And whilst he was preaching, the power of the word provoked the demon in the person to come out. You have no idea, as you are hearing the word of God, there are some demons that are being confronted. And sometimes the demons, they control our minds, our thought patterns, the way our minds work. Sometimes the way your mind is working is not too good. But the word of God comes to renew your mind. Immediately that demon loses out. Hallelujah. Saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? You see, when you're a man of authority, no matter where you are known. You are known by the devils. Remember, the man was not in Capernaum. He now, after all that this, he's now come to Capernaum. The demons knew him in Capernaum. Why? Because the Bible says that when he came out, with power, his fame spread abroad. His fame spread abroad. Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. The Holy One of God. The demons are saying, I know you. I know who you are. The Holy One of God. The Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. I pray that God is transforming somebody's life here. You are placing premium and interest in prayer. Listen, if you are in this church and you don't like prayer, you are missing out on the most important things of life, because prayer is actually half of the work done. Prayer is half of the work done. Hallelujah. And you can have half of the challenges being addressed. You can have half of the difficulties being resolved as you enter into a place of prayer. Lift your hands to God and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, may I be a man of authority. May I be a man of power. Help me, O God, to spend quality time in your presence. I need you more than ever before. I need you more than ever before. Say, Holy Spirit, influence my life from today. Stir up in me a desire to pray, a desire to stay close with the Most High King, a desire to rise and contend with issues, not just materially, but to contend with issues in my closet. Say, Holy Spirit, help me to be an overcomer. Say, Holy Spirit, help me to advance in the mighty name of Jesus. Put both hands together. Please rise to your feet. Give Jesus a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you so much for your word and your truth. Where can we go away from your presence? Your word says that when we rush into the sea, you are there. When we go under the rocks and under the mountains, you are there. Wherever we go in hiding, Lord, you are there. Your word says that it is with you that we have to deal with. Help us to wise up quickly. Help us to wise up quickly. Because your word says in Ecclesiastes 10 that wisdom is profitable to direct. Lord, may we not use energies because our iron is blunt. But I pray that, Holy Spirit, you will sharpen us up, that we will use less effort, God, in the call that you have placed upon us. Holy Spirit, may we walk in this wisdom, and may this wisdom direct us. Open your mouth and begin to pray in the Spirit. All across the room, pray in the Spirit. All across the house, pray in the Spirit. Somebody open your mouth and pray in the Spirit. Somebody lift your voice and pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. How be it in the Spirit? He speaks mysteries. Lift your voice and begin to pray in the Spirit. All across the auditorium, all across the room, let the saints of God lift their voices unto the Most High King. Let the saints lift their voices in prayer. Let prayer ascend unto him. Let prayer ascend. Kaparo de kara, rabada kadeba dosa makaya dara, lebrando saba kapaya, yenda raba kori yenda raba pa, leba kopale raba papaya, lebroda saba kapare raba papaya, rabada kadeba raba po, rabada makaya dara pa. La chopale la paria de la bebe, rabada bapala la paria de la bapa, ye bebe bebe ya da la bapala bapa, ye bala da la bakora bapala bapa, ye le bekele bebe ya da la bebe. We give you the glory. We give you the glory. We give you, let prayer ascend, let prayer ascend, let prayer ascend. Somebody lift your voice, speak to God, speak to the Lord. Thank you for your supernatural touch. Thank you that you are touching our lives, Lord. And you are touching our prayer lives, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Your word says that it is you who work in us both to will and to do of your pleasures. Lord, put in us the willingness to do as we have heard. Lord, I thank you that you are raising intercessors in the house. Men who will stand in the gap, standing in the gap that the enemy will not have access, and that your work shall advance and your word will proceed. Thank you that you are raising men and women who will rise up in the midst of their difficulties to pray. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we close our eyes briefly, God does not want you to perish, but he wants you to have everlasting life. Now the Bible says that this life is in the Son, and he that have a Son have life, and he that have not a Son have not life. If you want to say, Bishop, pray for me, I want the life that comes from Jesus. I want to live again. I want to build my relationship with God. I want to give my life to Jesus, and I want him to be Lord over my life. Wherever you are standing, I want you to lift your hand if you want me to pray for you, want to give your life to Jesus. Wherever you are standing, just lift your hands. I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. I can see some hands lifted. Jesus is interested in your situation. He wants to give you life, abundant life. I can see all those wonderful hands lifted. Can you do another thing for me? Can you just take some steps forward? Come and stand right here. Come, ushers, can you help them? Let's applaud. Let's put our hands together for them as they take this all-important decision. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, can you put your hands together? Let's celebrate Jesus for the life of these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. La baranda raba kurianda raba ba. Come to the mercy seat. Oh, yes, come to the mercy seat. Oh, come running, come running. Run to the mercy seat. Oh, yes, Lord. Jesus is calling. His grace. Oh, yes, Lord. Go free in somebody else want to take this decision, the boat is about to sail. The flight is about to leave. You cannot miss out on this flight. You want to say, Bishop, pray for me. I want Jesus to come into my heart to be the Lord of my life. Wherever you are, can you just lift your hands and just join us as we pray? Precious ones, you are privileged. You are so blessed that today you are taking the most important decision of your life. Hallelujah. The most important decision is not when you choose your career, is when you receive Jesus, the Savior of the world, into your life. Amen. Can you lift your hands? I want to pray for you right now. Lift your hands. We want to pray. Church, can we join in? Can you stretch your hand towards these wonderful people as we lead them together to receive Jesus? Pray this simple prayer. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me and dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for shedding the blood that you shed. Thank you for bearing the pain that you went through, all for my sake. This precious morning, I repent of my sins. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. I come to you, Jesus. Yes, in the past, I've been far away, but today I'm coming to you. I'm running to you. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. From this moment forward, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my personal Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Holy Spirit, we usher these precious ones into your hands. You are able to keep them from falling. Get them rooted. You will do. And Lord, I pray that stir up the new gifts, the gifts that have already been there. Stir it up so they can become instruments in the kingdom of God. I bless every one of them in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody shouted a big amen.